time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Happy Friday, as Jill would say. She just completed her first whole week of being away from home and at school, at college, so I bet she's having a blast. So anyway, I wish her well. Wish her lots of luck. It's warm out there. Currently here in the studio, it's 96 degrees, 101 at Eric, 100 at Camargo, 101 at Granfield, 101 at Mangum, 96 at Beaver. I guess you guys are getting the picture there. Let's see what's happening out in the Texas Panhandle. Same thing, 100 degrees at Wellington, 93 at McLean, 99 at Canadian, and 94 at Palladora Reservoir. We've got lots to talk about today. I've had a lot of guests on the show this week, and so we're behind on hay prices. We're behind on what the cattle market's doing. We're behind on everything. But first things first, I need to find it. I know you guys have checked your emails or seen some. I don't know if it was on RFDTV this morning and everything, but there was a gentleman down in Georgia set the new state record for soybean yield at 206 bushels per acre. On August 23rd, Alex Harrell, shattered the world soybean record with a yield of 206.7997 bushels per acre on his Smithville, Georgia farm. The 33-year-old producer farms about 3,000 acres of wheat, soybeans, corn, and watermelons with his father, Rodney, in Lee and Sumner counties. Dewey Lee, former University of Georgia agronomist for 35 years, calls Harrell an out-of-the-box thinker. And if you guys remember, old Rusty, Russell, that did the 415-16 bushels an acre corn there in North Carolina last year, that's exactly what they were calling him, out-of-the-box thinker. Get out of the box. With the openness to different crops and ideals and a hunger to learn, the young farmer likes challenging himself and others around him, Lee says. He's always on that edge. I've got to give credit where credit is due, Harrell says. Until Randy Dowdy, who holds the previous record of 190 bushels per acre, came along, nobody associated high-yielding soybeans with Georgia. Dowdy's achievements help Harrell believe that the challenge of the South sandy, low CEC, low organic matter soils could be overcome. He gave me something to chase. Harrell has worked with Dowdy and other record-setting farms through the Total Acre Program, and you can Google that, Total Acre Program, and credits the group for many of the lessons he's learned. So last fall, he harvested the corn from a record-setting field. After harvest, he had a burn-down treatment. It was applied in a cereal grain. Triticale was with oats mix, radishes, everything. Put it in there. Harrell variable rate applied lime in the fall and spread gypsum to build calcium levels. Here come April, Harrell planted 85,000 seeds per acre into pretty cool conditions on April 5th. The soybeans were a Group 4 intermediate variety from Ashgrove AG48X9. They were planted on 30-inch row widths. Day 6, big rain moved in. Final stand of 77,000 plants per acre emerged from that precipitation. The margin was even, but not all the plants all seeded came up. June, they had a rain event, 10-day rain event in June, which did not help matters. by mid-season. And this is he planted this under a pivot, okay? And about halfway through the growing season, he said he had nearly forgotten about the early April storm. It seemed the team had turned everything around. Other than the two major rain events, the season was favorable with cool nighttime temperatures in the 60s and warm days. It wasn't overly hot during pollination, but there was sunshine. I knew we had about 150 bushel per acre soybeans, he said, but I didn't know how much better they were going to be until here just a few days ago on August 22nd. 206-7997. Once harvest started in the plot, this was plotted. Harold figured out he had 175 bushel beans, breaking Kip Kohler's 2010 record, but falling short of Randy Dowdy's 190 bushel record set in 2019. It all came down to the test weight, he said. We had the heavy rains from late season management. The beans were just massive. A local University of Georgia Extension agent, Doug Collins, was on hand to verify the record, breaking soybean yield. He was in the combine with Harold to watch the yield monitor climb as they harvested the 2.5-acre contest plot. It was surreal to see those numbers. Those are numbers I've only seen in a cornfield, Harold said. Richard Roth, University of Georgia Extension grains and soybean agronomist, notes Harold's new soybean record is higher than the state's average corn yield. Couple of things that he did while growing this 2.5-acre contest plot, actually, every acre of my farm gets soil sampled on one-acre grids every single year. The tighter the grid, the better I feel about what's going on in the field. You have to do it every year. Harold has started focusing on base saturations of what the soil samples say. Tissue sampling. No matter what's going on, Harold pulls tissue samples every Monday, period, between merge, after it starts emerging, soil samples every week. They were a key part of the program, building a trend line to see where our nutrition values was. Any foliar product or other application decisions was based on those consistent soil samples. So there you go. He said beans, heavy beans, were directly correlated with late season management. Fertilizer, there's three quarters of the, he said he did it with three quarters of fertilizer he normally does, just because what he was doing with his soil, carbon, you name it, he was doing all kinds of things. And he was thinking outside the box. So big congratulations to Alex Harrell from Georgia for setting the new world record of soybeans on this irrigated 2.5-acre plot. 200 and something bushels per acre. How about that? That's awesome. Well, let's see what happened overnight and the ag world before we continue on what's going on right now. Soybean futures were higher while corn was lower in overnight trading. Mixed results from day four of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Soybean pods in 3x3 squares in parts of Iowa were estimated at 1,190 versus 1,174 last year during the tour show. That's up 0.9% from the three-year average. In Minnesota, pod counts were reported at 984 in a 3x3 area. That's down 11% from year-over-year and 8.1% from the average. Hot, dry weather has hurt crops in that region, people on the tour said. Corn yield in Iowa is seen at 182.8 bushels an acre. That's down a year earlier from 183.8 and the three-year average of 184. Minnesota's corn yield was 181.3 bushels an acre. The tour estimated down 5% from the 2022 forecast and 3.4% from the average. Extremely hot weather will continue as heat indexes will reach triple digits in much of the eastern corn belt today. Soybeans overnight for November delivery gained 7.5 cents to 13.79¼ bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal fell $1 to 4.11.30 a short ton, while soy oil added 0.87 cents to 63.05 cents a pound. Corn futures were For December, delivery fell 2 cents to 486 and a quarter a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery was up 3 cents to 634 and three quarter in Chicago, while in Kansas City, futures gained 6 and a quarter to $7.68 and three quarter cents a bushel. Heat index is going to hit 120 in parts of Missouri. Excessive heat warnings remain in effect for southeastern Nebraska to the Gulf Coast and east into Ohio for yet another day, according to the National Weather Service. Heat indexes in southern Iowa will range from 105 to 110 this afternoon. In central Missouri, heat indexes will hit 120. As this historical heat wave continues due to the combination of extreme heat and humidity over a period of years. Looks like tomorrow the wind's going to switch a little bit. So it'd be pretty nice here in western Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle. Northeastern Colorado and western Kansas, thunderstorms are expected this afternoon and likely will continue through much of the night. So I have a pair of rodeo tickets, your choice, Friday or Sunday night, that I want to give away. So the third person to text in the correct answer with their name, you don't win. I'm not responding to you or even mentioning you, even if you got the correct answer. If you don't text in your name to 225, let me back up, 580-225-9697. How many pounds of dry matter are they in a ton of alfalfa hay? How many pounds of dry matter is there in a ton of alfalfa hay? First correct answer gets a set of tickets, their choice, Friday or Sunday night to the Elk City Rodeo Champions next weekend, Labor Day weekend. Let's take a break and I'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey neighbors, Ron Hayes for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with all your fall cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help to address your soil health goals. So give the good folks a call, SEI Agritech, today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Once again, Drew Cobb back in the studio, running you through that Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 18th. 1,410 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 354 brought 322. 4 at 449 brought 292. 8 at 514 brought 277. 5 at 542 brought 279. 7 at 648 brought 243. 5 at 709 brought 220. 10 at 729 brought 246. 16 head of heifers at 401 brought 306. 8 at 441 brought 260. 4 at 504 brought 244. 9 at 566 brought 237.50. 7 at 611 brought 225. 4 at 639 brought 216. 10 at 1,002 brought 203. Butcher cows were 3 to 129. Butcher bulls brought 82 to 136.50. Bred cows were 1025 to 2300. Pairs brought 1825 to 2150. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We're living in just such a world of automated, you call somewhere and you get to speak to me. The ease and convenience, I think, for the customer, and then just the confidence that they leave knowing they've built a relay call on for help. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls less waste, means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Today is the Wheeler General Store Happy Hour. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years now. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all their product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed. It is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside Wheeler, Texas, right there on the east side. They look forward to serving you. All right, let's see what's happening out there. I'll get as close as I can to them. Let's just go with Miami, Texas, for an update out there. 97 degrees, heat index is at 95. The winds are out of the southwest at 18 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts today so far, 26 miles an hour. Humidity, 24%. Dew point, 54%. 1.08 inches of rain so far this month in Miami. 8-inch soil temperature there is 81 degrees. All right. You guys are just chomping at the bit to find out who won. All right. Samantha Hunt, you've won a pair of tickets to the rodeo. Let me know what night you want to go. The answer was 2,000 pounds. I had some people figured in percentage. 14% baling and a dry matter, a ton of alfalfa. How about that? So anyway, I do have another one coming up, so stay clear or stay by, hang by, whatever. And the last segment of the show, I'll ask the question next segment. I have a pair of tickets to go see Lady A in concert at Concho at the Lucky Star Casino there. And it's not till September 30th, but these are going to be hot item tickets. But Lady A in concert at the Lucky Star Casino in Concho. So pretty cool. Going to be an awesome concert coming up. So just hang tight for the question coming up here pretty soon. As soon as I think of something really cool to ask, or maybe dumb. I don't know. We'll see what's going on. Let's check out the markets right now. I can tell you everything except for Japanese yen and the British pound is in the green today. This is a very unusual board. Oil is in the green. Gas is in the green. Grains are in the green. Cattle are in the green. And cotton just dead even. Sugar's in the green also. Sugar Daddy made a penny a pound since I talked bad about him yesterday over there at Delhi. So anyway, it's up. Let's take it out. Corn, September, 472. December, 489. March, 504. Soybeans for September, 1375. It's up because this guy set the new world record, I'm sure. Soybeans for November, 1383. Soybean meal for September, 424.10. October, 416.70. December, 414.10. Soybean oil for September, 66.35. October, 64.49. December, 63.17. Hard red winter wheat, September, 754. 764 for December. Oats for September, 473. December, 497. cotton for October, 86 cents a pound, and exactly to the tenth of a cent, December is also 86 cents a pound. Live cattle for August, 180.15, October, 180.95, December, 184.75, February, 188.85. I got a fingerprint on my glasses. I couldn't tell it out. It was glary. Feeder cattle for August, 247.20, September, 250.62. Lean hogs for October, 82.32, December, 74 even, February, 78.07. All right, let's check out some prices on cattle from up in the northern part of our listening area. And look like there's quite a few cattle sold still in the north part of Oklahoma to sell barns, but it looks like it's down from last week, the numbers are. But compared to last week, feeder steers are $3 to $5 higher. Feeder heifers are $2 to $6 higher. Steer calves are $5 to $10 higher. And heifer calves steady on a light test of weaned calves. Demand was moderate, quality was average. All right, let's see what some 464 pounders are bringing. 280.48. Some unwinged ones weighing 510 brought 295. And then some 600 pounders, let's see here, 632 on the average. 274 was the high end on them, but 270 was your average on price. 700 pounders bringing around 250 to 255, 800 pounders 239 to 247, and some 900 pounders 243.75 and 208 for some 1,071 pounders. On heifers, let's see here. Some unwinged 425 pounders brought 270. Some unwinged 543 pounders brought 253. Some 611 winged ones brought 267. Some 721 winged ones brought 242. 800 pounders were bringing up to 233. And some 937 pound heifers brought 216. So pretty decent price on that. Wait, Mark is strong. Looking good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Wheeler General Store break, that is. When I come back, I'll have a question for you to win a pair of lady tickets to the Lady A concert at Concho. That'll be a good one. And then we'll continue on. I got hay, and hay to talk about. How about that? We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Attention parents and grandparents. Are you looking for some family fun at a reasonable price? Come to the racetrack in Elk City and get a whole night of action-packed excitement for just $10 to $15 per person. To make it even more affordable, kids under 8 are free. This Saturday, the Sooner Limited Modified Series returns along with our factory stock and tuner divisions. Plus, you can meet all the racers during intermission. Bring the kids because all 60 to 80 racers will be lined up on the track with their cars cars, giving away free candy, swag, and autographs at halftime. The grandstands open at 5 p.m. with races starting at 8 p.m. We're starting a little later to let it cool down, but we should still be finished by 10:30. And as a special treat this weekend, we've got country recording artist Jake Gill in town to sing our anthem. We've got a full concession stand, so come hungry. For more details, follow Elk City Motorsports Park on Facebook or go to ElkCityMotorsportsPark.com. Let's get sideways this Saturday.
The Elk City Rodeo is more than just a rodeo. It's getting together with family and friends, standing up for the American flag and for what's right. Pride in who we are. This is Wayne Brooks inviting you to the 85th anniversary of the Elk City Rodeo, September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Brought to you by Duck Gray Dodge and Ram. Tickets are on sale online at ElkCityRodeo.com and at Circle A Western Wear. The Elk City Rodeo, September 1st through the 3rd. The Great Elk City Rodeo. See you there.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Wheeler General Store. Happy hour. Putnam, you're 98 degrees. It feels like 99. Heat risk is actually low, even with that temperature. Dew point 60. Humidity's 28. The winds are out of the southwest at 10 miles an hour. Sunset at 8:15. Today, 101. Tomorrow, 96. Tomorrow night, 30% chance of thunderstorms. Sunday, 30% chance of thunderstorms and 86 degrees. 20% chance of rain Sunday night. Monday, 88. Tuesday, 88. How about that? You guys will have the cold weather gear out going from 101 down to 86 every day. So, anyway. All right, here's the question I'm going to let you guys ponder on during this segment. Don't be quick to answer. Make sure you're correct, but you're going to win a pair of tickets to see Lady A in concert at the Lucky Star Casino in Concho. How about that? It's going to be a good time. So how many peanuts are they in a Snickers candy bar? No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, I need three. This is going to be a three-part answer. How many pounds does a bushel of wheat weigh? How many pounds does a bushel of rye weigh? And how many pounds does a bushel of triticale weigh? Okay? Three parts. How many pounds does each bushel weigh? Triticale, rye, and wheat. And I'll take the third correct answer. And if somebody texts in how many peanuts they are in a Snickers candy bar, I'll probably let you be the winner. Anyway, so there's your deal, and I'll announce the winner in our last segment of the show. Let's go with hay. I didn't get to do Hay Day Tuesday, and it kind of irked me. Production of alfalfa and alfalfa gray grass dry hay mixtures in the U.S. is projected to be at 48.9 million tons in 2023, according to the USDA's August crop production report. This is up approximately 2% from 2022. However, final production figures won't be known until January of 2024. Acreage of alfalfa and alfalfa grass mixtures is almost 5% higher than it was last year, but forest yields are predicted to drop from 3.22 to 3.13 tons per acre. Estimated production for all dry hay other than alfalfa is pegged at 60 9.9 million tons, which is 7% more than 2022. Both acreage and yields are expected to be higher. Also in the crop production production report, corn production is estimated to be 10% greater than 2022. Remember, there was a drought last year and there was a drought this year. So whereas soybean production is forecasted to be 2% lower, while acreage was up for corn and down for soybeans, the national yield for both grain crops is predicted to be better than last year. So there you have it. All right, let's check out some hay prices. One, two. Let's start with alfalfa premium, and then I'll do alfalfa good. Or I'll just do them both together as we go along. Let's say in Colorado, $320 a ton delivered for premium alfalfa, none available on the good. Kansas is 280 to 360, that 360 being delivered on premium. Where'd it go? 250 to 315 on good alfalfa in Kansas. Got to remember, whole state of Kansas basically is in a drought, so prices are a little higher there. Missouri, $200 to $300 on premium alfalfa and 150 to 200 on good alfalfa. In New Mexico, 225 delivered to 400 a ton for premium, 240 delivered to 290 delivered on good. In Oklahoma, 225 delivered on premium, and then we got 200 to 225, both of those being delivered on good alfalfa. Big state down south of us, with Big T, 340 delivered to 425 on premium, 310 delivered to 340 delivered on good. Let's see who's kind of ranking the highest here right now. It looks like New Mexico. New Mexico on premium alfalfa is around $400 a ton, somewhere out there. So if you know somebody out there and you need to sell some alfalfa, better hook you up. That's a pretty good price out there. Grass hay prices. Let's see. Let's go with Kansas, 180 to 300 a ton. Neither one of those delivered. And on some good quality grass hay, 120 to 240. That 240 being delivered. Missouri, 225 a ton. 150 to 175 on good. Oklahoma, nothing available. Big T down south, 240 to 400 on grass hay. 208 to 350 on delivered on just good hay. Let's bring up something real quick. Let's see what's happening down there. And bear with me a second here. There we go. I found it. All right. Let's see what's happening with the drought monitor that came out. I hadn't looked at it this week. Been busy. Come on, baby. Come up. There you go. Yeah, that's why the grass hay is going up in big state down south, except for the, which is very unusual, except for the northern half of the Texas panhandle. Big T's, in a pretty, they got a lot of D4 and D3 going on, so that's why hay prices are going up. In Oklahoma, the southern one-third of the state's in a D2 max. There's a little D1 going on. Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, central Missouri, and parts of Iowa, and all through the Corn Belt. You guys are hurting. There's no doubt about that. So, anyway, yeah, Louisiana and Texas, they got a lot. That's where the big red blobs are now. So, anyway, I was wondering why that hay was going up. All right, let's continue on. You guys need to pay attention to your horse pastures. Despite a few species or specific differences, horse owners can follow many of the same grazing practices that cattle producers adhere to during the drought. Doing so will limit damage to your perennial forage stands and help maintain animal performance through periods of dry weather. I have noticed where there's some horses, and whether they be a couple and a 5 acres or 10 and 30 acres, horses can, they grubber down to the ground. They don't leave nothing. One distinction between grazing horses and cattle is the impact non-structural carbohydrate content of forage has on animal health. Dr. Markison with the University of Minnesota explains cool season grasses normally contain 12 to 16% NSC, but this number can exceed 20% during drought. Grasses tend to accumulate NSC to help buffer the negative impacts of stress, including drought, the equine specialist states. While elevated NSC concentrations may not negatively affect healthy horses, these levels are likely to cause issues in horses with a history of obesity, equine metabolic syndrome, however you say that, I hope I said that right, and other diagnoses requiring a diet lower in NSC. High nitrate levels and drought stress forage also have a potential to harm both horses and cattle. The former group of livestock should not consume forage with nitrate concentration above 4,600 parts per million, which is most likely to occur in weedy pastures, warm season grasses, and early forage regrowth. In addition to these risks, Marcheson advises horse owners to be mindful of grazing management. Her primary tips are to avoid overgrazing, control your weeds, boost soil fertility, and feed horses hay when necessary. On overgrazing and lack of moisture combined with hot temperature discourages plant growth and can cause cool season species to go dormant in the summer. Remove horses from a field before animals graze below 3 inches. And I got to say amen to that. Then wait until the forage is 6 to 8 inches tall before allowing horses to access that part of the pasture again. Adjusting stocking distance can further prevent overgrazing, lower the number of horses on a pasture at a time, or shorten grazing periods to alleviate grazing pressure. Marcheson also recommends using grazing muzzles to curb animals' forage intake by up to 30%. If you control your weeds, some weeds are especially good at surviving in dry conditions and use scarce water source resources. She notes, minimize weed competition by applying herbicides that are intended for pasture use and compatible. I'm going to reiterate that right there, where she says intended for pasture use. Always check your label. I don't care what your best buddy that has 100 more horses than you says. Always check your label and check with a professional, whether it be like Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech or Quentin down at the co-op or blah, blah, blah. Always check with somebody who knows what it is. I've heard some stories this summer about some stuff going on because my buddy said that it'd be all right, and he'd done it for years. Man, times have changed. You got an iPhone. Look the label up yourself. She also reminds farmers to follow grazing restrictions found on product labels. Oh, see, she was getting, I didn't even know that. See, she's smart as I am. Anyway, improve soil fertility. Consider using fertilizer to boost soil fertility in a drought-stressed forage stands. If you ain't getting no rain, I wouldn't waste your money. But take a soil sample to identify deficient nutrients and determine appropriate application rates. The ideal time to apply fertilizer, especially nitrogen, is prior to a rainfall event. Yep, I get that somewhere. Last but not least on this, feed hay in a dry lot, not out on your pasture. Relocating horses to a dry lot and feeding them hay until forage growth returns to normal can safeguard root systems and stand activity. With that said, horses may be reacclimated to fresh grass after consuming hay for an extended period of time to prevent digestive issues or colic due to a change in their diet. If animals spend less than 2 weeks in a dry lot, Marcheson recommends reintroducing them to the pasture in 30-minute increments if you can catch them every day. For example, let animals graze for 30 minutes in the first day, 60 minutes the second day, and 90 minutes the third day, and so on. These horses can regain unrestricted access to the pasture once they've reached 5 hours of grazing time or after 10 days. Horses that spend more than 2 weeks off pasture require a slower approach to acclimation, in this case, reduce daily grazing increments to 15 minutes per day until animals reach 5 hours of grazing. So there you go. All right, thought I'd throw that out there. I hadn't talked about horses in such a long time. Let's see, it is 11:43. Anyway, I got to attend the Oklahoma Farm Bureau meeting last night. It's the district meeting, I think it was. I'm a new Farm Bureau member, so just bear with me with my stupidity on districts, this and that, but I'm learning. How's that? Anyway, got to attend that. Great supper. Oh my gosh, it was good. Brisket, I think pulled pork and sausage. Had your choice of peach cobbler or banana pudding. And anyway, there's some good things that go on in those meetings. No matter what you hear, whatever you hear, I don't care. That was a great meeting. And what they do is they just talk about what they've been hearing out here and what should be brought up to these county-wide meetings, not these district meetings. And it was pretty good. I learned a lot. Got to meet some good people there last night. Frank Lucas had two of his people there to attend, and they gave an update on what's going on in the national level. And then we had some state-level people going on. So, anyway, it's pretty cool. If you get a chance to attend, or if you're not even a member, you need to member up. Roger Mills County, for example, is $37.50 a month, or a year, sorry, a year. Get after it. They do a lot for farmers and ranchers. And it's not just about farmland. They were talking about, they got trouble down there between Hobart and Lawton with elk, and then the hogs were brought up, and then you got mineral rights owners, and then you got leases, mineral leases, and it's not just all cattle and horses and goats and sheep, and there's a lot going on there. So anyway, stay tuned, because your local county boards are going to be deciding on some subjects to be chasing after for the next year. So anyway, it was pretty cool. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. When we come back, I'll see if I got a winner for the Lady A tickets. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills, would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. I hope that Bridget's listening because she works down there at Altus. So I'm just going to do Altus today. Currently, it is 99, feels like 100, dew point 60, humidity 27. The winds are calm, it's hot. Sunset at 8:14 today, 106, 104 tomorrow, 20% chance of storms tomorrow evening. Sunday, 96, 40% chance of rain Sunday night, 30% chance of rain Monday, 94 for a high, and Tuesday, 94 for a high. That's 10 degrees cooler, so that'll be good. Why I remember the other day I had Kent Watkins on here, Wednesday from SEI Agritech, and I said I was going to, I had my temperature gun with me, and I was going to do some temperatures. I think I mentioned it when I was doing the Exploring Energy show yesterday, and I forgot to. Well, we were so busy talking about hogs yesterday during the show yesterday. All right. So I took a temperature of bare ground right outside the corn, and the corn's about 7 foot tall, somewhere in that neighborhood, and the temperature was 100. This was at 3:30 Wednesday afternoon. The temperature was 138.8 degrees. And I walked over about 40 feet to double check that temperature, and I come up with 138.6 degrees. I walked in the canopy on the corn that I'd watered, turned the water off the day before, and it was 90 degrees on the ground temperature, and I shot the best I could because the we got wheat stubble there for cover. And it was nice and cool. And then we got a road that we made going to the pivot center where we're hauling our chemicals back and forth, fertilizer back and forth. And there was a bare spot there right next to the corn. I shot it. It was 91 degrees. And then so I walked over there where the irrigation, I'd fired the irrigation up about 10 minutes before that. After 5 minutes of watering, the ground temperature was 85 degrees in there 5 minutes after the water went through. So basically between the ground temperature with cover on it and on, it was, and Kent said at least 40 degrees. Well, he was pretty close. It was almost 48, 49 degrees difference between covered land and uncovered land. So there you go. I wanted to share that with you guys. So anyway, I got a couple other things to share besides, and then I'll get to the text line. I had more answers on the Snicker candy bar than I did on the rye, wheat, and Triticale. Anyway, today is the deadline. You only got 3 or 4 hours to do this. So anyway, the OYE entries for the shooting sport, shotgun sports, it's coming up here in a couple weeks. The preliminaries will be September 5th and 6th. Today's the deadline. Go to Monty Tucker's Facebook page or OYE's Facebook page or whatever. But anyway, if you hadn't entered. But what's really cool that I seen Monty shared on Facebook was they have confirmed there will be representatives from 5 different collegiate shooting sports teams at the prelims and finals looking at and visiting with potential recruits with some awesome scholarship opportunities. $25,000 and growing. So get your entries in today, if you don't mind. Then if you'll go to You know, I love vegetables, especially watermelons and cantaloupes and stuff like that. I seen it popped up on my news feed. I guess I look at it. So there's a Facebook page called Giant Watermelon Growers. I'm a member of the Giant Pumpkin Growers and a member of the Giant Cantaloupe Growers. But anyway, somewhere down there in the Gulf Coast, because it says this was posted by the Gulf Coast Watermelon Association, at the Franklin County Watermelon Festival, out of county and largest melons, it looks like grow by two brothers. One of them was 193 pounds, and one of them was 165 pounds. And these look like black diamonds. And then in county, from the county, looks like a couple brothers still, or father and son, let me back that up, 106 and 100-pound watermelon. This watermelon, this dude is one of those rednecks, like a bunch of them around here, that bodybuild and their necks bigger than their head and stuff. He's standing behind, don't take it personal, he's standing behind his, or on his knee behind his watermelon. He looks like he's holding a 55-gallon barrel watermelon. That's how big his watermelon is. It's the coolest picture ever. I'll share that on the KECO Facebook page. But anyway, it's a big old watermelon. Well, there's a guy, and let me make sure I get his name right. He's going to be on the show Monday. His name, and he told me the C is silent in his name. So his name is Tony Prochaska. It's Prochaska, but the C is silent, he said. So we're going with Prochaska, and hopefully I got that right. He's going to be on my show Monday, and he actually is the designer and developer of the seed that was the state record cantaloupe last year, right out of Elk City here by Amber Harrison at 38 pounds, 2 ounces. And it's the Prochaska seed, cantaloupe seed. Well, that's the 30-pounder I grew this year. And he also develops watermelon seed. And some of these watermelons weighing over 200 pounds and almost 300 pounds are some seeds that he's developed too. So he's going to be on here Monday. So you guys don't want to miss Monday's show. I think it's going to be pretty cool. He lives up northern Kansas, north of Manhattan, north K-State up there. And I'm sure he gets some help from the K-State Extension office there. Anyway, he grows corn, wheat. He's a farmer. He's just like the rest of it, but he's a pretty cool guy. So I can't wait to get him on there. All right, you guys ready for this? Oh, my gosh. Snicker Bar has too many to count. Snicker Bar contains around 15 peanuts in each bar. My grandson counted one. Anyway, each candy bar has 16 peanuts in it, limited, whatever that means. And then Chris, he's got 16 peanuts in a Snickers candy bar. Somebody says 17 peanuts. You know the problem with all this issue? There was only two people with the correct answer from the wheat bar, rye, and Truticow that gave the answer, and none of them put their name afterwards. So I'm going with the closest one. Steve Young, you won a pair of tickets to go see Lady A at the Lucky Star Casino in Concho. If I had a bunch of tickets, I would give them all out to you guys that answered, because I think 16, I've counted them before, 16 peanuts. Got to count the halves and make them whole, but I think 16 to 17 is the correct answer. And it looks like somebody ate a bunch of candy bars, because your answers are all way too close to be guessing this. So anyway, thanks for the participation in that deal there. Okay, we got a few minutes left here, and wanted to go over the beef antitrust lawsuit against meat packers was dismissed. I wanted to follow up on that because I mentioned it about a year and a half ago, and they were going to do that. Minnesota District Court Judge John Tunum has dismissed without prejudice a beef antitrust lawsuit against Cargill, JBS, Swift Beef Company, Tyson, and National Beef Packing Companies, wherein then three cow-calf ranchers alleged the company conspired to suppress fed cattle prices, which in turn caused the prices of cows and calves to collapse. Plaintiff James Spipp, Jerry Kelsley, and Ted Larson alleged the companies implemented their buying cartel by agreeing to reduce slaughter volume, limit their purchase of cash cattle, coordinate buying practices of cash cattle, import foreign cattle to depress demand for cheaper domestic cattle, and number five, close or idle slaughter plants and refrain from expanding their slaughter capacity. He got thrown out. So anyway, happy Friday, everybody. I'll see you guys Monday. Have a safe weekend. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.